Please pray with me. Write your blessed name, O Lord, upon our hearts, there to remain engraved forever, and let nothing move us from your love and the love of one another. Amen. Please be seated. For those of us who are called to a ministry of service as sacristans and deacons, tonight's liturgy, the Monday-Thursday liturgy, is, for lack of a better term, our patron liturgy. For deacons, it's proclaiming the gospel, the bread, the wine, and the towels and basins of water for foot washing. For the sacristans, it's the stripping of the altar and the preparation for Good Friday that are powerful symbols of our call to ministry. But for me, it's the foot washing that sets this service apart from any other liturgy during the year. I bet every one of you here tonight knows someone who avoids this service because of the foot washing. They find it far too unsettling. I know having our feet washed or washing someone else's feet in public is a deeply moving image that stirs up plenty of emotion for spectators and participants alike. I know that tonight's foot washing is going to cause extreme anxiety for many people. But why? What is it about washing our feet that makes people so squeamish? Is it having our feet touched? Or is it touching other people's feet? Or even just seeing people's feet? Participating in foot washing is a true test of our humanity, and it opens us up to feeling exposed and vulnerable. Mary Jo Copeland, the founder of Sharing and Caring Hands, says that she is called to wash the feet of those who show up at her door daily, to show them that there's actually someone who cares about them, someone who loves them. As Lent approached this year, I began to hear the question, are we going to do foot washing? And then comes the response after I say yes. Oh, I hate that. Foot washing is a ritual that is loved by few and dreaded by many. So, what is it about washing our feet that makes people so uptight? Some people will come to this service tonight knowing full well what's going to happen during the foot washing. They'll keep their shoes on, they'll keep their feet planted on the floor, and they're going to keep their heads down. Some people come wearing hosiery and shoes not easily removed in public places, which will cause a flurry of activity. All of that is okay. Some, being new to this liturgy, just won't know what to do. And that's okay too. There's going to be somebody here to guide you. I know how the foot washing tonight's going to go, and I know you know how it's going to go, and I know the relief you're going to feel when it's all over. All of the squeamishness, anxiety, and trust you are feeling is part of the experience. It's part of our Holy Week journey. It reiterates and punctuates the message from John's Gospel, and it prepares us for all that's going to come in the next 3 days. Jesus and his disciples were not in a beautiful sanctuary like this one when their foot washing took place. They were having dinner in a secluded room somewhere. It was their last dinner together, although Jesus was the only one that knew that. Jesus knew what lay ahead. Jesus knew that he was about to leave his faithful friends that he loved. He knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going. He didn't want to leave his friends without giving them what they needed to carry on their lives of ministry. So So Jesus got up from the table. He took off his coat, picked up a towel and a basin of water, and got down on his knees in front of them. They had followed Jesus for miles, and their feet were going to have to carry them further in the future. So he showed his love and gratitude for them by washing their feet. As simple as that. But then we have Peter. Peter freaks out. He questions Jesus' attempt to wash his feet. The world in which they lived was a world that was structured by power and hierarchy. Foot washing was normally a task done by those who had little or no standing in society at that time. It was the duty of the lower class to wash the upper class's feet. So this was turning Peter's world upside down. Things were going to be different for Peter from now on. He was trying to hang on to the past while struggling with the present and fighting the future. He wanted to know why Jesus was washing their feet. Jesus was giving them an example of how they were to serve one another in the future. He chose to wash their feet for practical reasons of that culture and of that time. He did it to meet the needs of his disciples, not as a ritual to prove a point, but as an example. This humble act of washing feet was meant to say, "Love one another as I have loved you." As it says in tonight's gospel, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you." It was messy and awkward for the disciples, as it is for some of us today, to have our feet washed. But it's going to be a life-changing experience. When we kneel and hold the feet of another person, and then we in turn offer our feet to be held and washed, we are giving ourselves over to connect with someone that we may not know or may not even like. At that time of surrender, we trust and hope that there is more happening than what we see. Somehow at that time, we will know that the love of Jesus Christ is at work in both of us. What we will gain from this experience is the feeling of Christ's love being poured out over all of us. Somehow through the anxiety of washing the feet of others and having our feet washed, we move from being spectators of the life of Christ to being participants in his life. What matters is that we wash and that we allow ourselves to be washed, because in this washing we will find Christ's love. And if there's one thing I have learned from our recent world news, I am keenly aware of our world today, the whole world, everyone in the world, with all of its hatred, pain, suffering, violence, and death, needs to be washed. We all need to wash and be washed. Amen.